Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups.
Chandra, thank you for joining me. And can we start by you telling our listeners who you are, a little bit about your podcast, Conversations with Chan?
My name is Chandra Gore. I am a consultant, publicist, author, producer, all of that. And for Chandra Gore Consulting, my podcast is Conversations with Chan. It is a conversational, informational podcast that mixes my personality along with business tips and interviews with other entrepreneurs and public figures to allow them to speak in a candid, not so structured way. So that audience can learn more about them and, you know, get to know their personalities as well.
Awesome. And I'm really, really curious to know, like, how did you get started with the podcast? And if there's any highlights that you can share with us.
Well, I started my podcast because of the fact that I usually get asked the same questions over and over again. So I did not want to continue to state the same thing. So I just started to record talking about what gifting suites were, what does a publicist do if you're looking for a publicist, defining that, and also, you know, recreating your business foundation. So my podcast came out of necessity and frustration, and it made it so it was easy for me when someone emails me, I just email them a link to the podcast episode, and it helps them to understand exactly what they would like for me to help them do. And that's where it just grew from there. I've had some amazing guests. I have some amazing guests coming up. I've interviewed federal judges, reality stars, legendary singers here in America, it's been a great process.
Awesome. I can tell you're already passionate about it, and that's yeah. Really nice. And I love the fact that it almost came as a result of like a creative way of like frequently asked questions, like FAQs. And I think that's really smart, because you could send someone to a page. And to be honest, like, I'm someone that deals with like audio. I absolutely love audio. So if something's written, then for me, I always want to hear it in an audio form. And we actually kind of took a similar approach here at Publicize. We had an FAQs page that we produced, mm-hmm. and we produced a podcast around it where we had each of our account managers read a question and an answer. So I think like the approach you've taken is very smart. It's almost like your own personal FAQs page, but like in conversation form. I'm very appropriately named Conversations with Chan.
Yes.
So the main topic, though, that you're on here to talk about today is a term that you coined called compassionate marketing. And I love the sound of it. Like, immediately when you told me about this, I was like, you know what? I mean, it's got compassionate in there. So obviously that's a great start. But I wasn't sure like how it would work or how it would operate. So I'd love to take this opportunity for you to explain to our listeners and myself what this is.
So compassionate marketing, when the pandemic first hit, we never saw commercials with lawn care specialists talking about what they can do for your family, or Stanley, like some of the major brands. They were just images, a slogan, and some music, you know? So with the pandemic hitting, a lot of the companies redid their marketing strategies to include support for your family, caring about your family, even toilet paper advertising. Like, they went through the whole thing where they touched on the fact that toilet paper was hard to come by and how they're working to get product to you and your family. So it became a pull on your heartstrings, because they let people know that, you know, they were thinking about them. You know, we care about you. We understand what you're going through. We're sympathizing with you. So a lot of that came into the marketing totally changed, even down to Grubhub and other like companies that you would never hear them talk about how they affected or how they have a part in your family. So it became, you know, they showed their compassion to the stress and to what was going on. So marketing has totally changed. You know, they're pulling on heartstrings, they're touching in aspects of your life that they normally wouldn't. So that's where, like, it was a huge shift. So that's pretty much what, you know, that's where I got it from. It was like, it was compassionate. It made you want to cry. Like the early 80s commercials, the, you know, the long distance commercials or the Folgers commercials where, you know, the family comes, somebody comes home from being away at college. So that kind of play on the emotion to market their business or their product.
Yeah, really like pulling on your heartstrings. I can understand that. Yeah. And I think that now is a time where that sort of thing is probably most appropriate because this is a difficult time for many people. Mm-hmm. And I think being compassionate really shows that you understand that and that it's not a normal time. But also I was thinking that in general, companies and processes seem to be more compassionate. I mean, I can't really compare necessarily. It's not like I've gone off and done research, but I think that in many parts of our society, we are understanding to become more passionate. Yeah. So in businesses, for example, I've been very fortunate that I've worked at very nice companies that have always like treasured their employees and like really shown them that like, oh, we care about you. But from what I understand, I mean, I'm 27, so I don't know what like the corporate world was like, perhaps maybe like 40 years ago. But it seems like it was a lot colder and a lot less affectionate. Whereas now you've got startups that want to have like pool tables and like bring your dog to work days and stuff like this. So it seems that like businesses want to be more compassionate to their employees and of course to their customers, I guess. But that's only my perspective.
Yeah, because now they actually ask about your family. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a full-time entrepreneur. But when I started working out in corporate America a long time ago, I'm not going to say my age, you know, there wasn't a push on how your business, how traffic affected your family or how the stress from work affected how you, what you did at work. Like it was, you come to work, there's no crying in baseball. You focus, you put your head down and you get the work done. So the issue became, you know, now they care about what, you know, what's going on in your life. How's your family life? What, you know, it's the care is there and it hasn't been before. So, I mean, in this day and age, it's a good feeling to know that they're caring. You know, it's just a huge culture shock for some people because work was work and home was home, you know? So now to have that, it's a welcome change. But a lot of times it's the understanding of working from home. Teleworking was not an option 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was not even a thing. Like we still had fax machines and word processors in some places. Well, I can only speak for myself. But it's, you know, caring about their kids, caring about what you're, you know, what was going on. It was non-existent. So now it feels good to have companies care. You know, it feels good to know that your company wants you to thrive and to be, you know, to actually have a voice in what you're doing at your home. So it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference.
I completely agree. And I'm so blessed to work for a company which I feel does that. And also it sets standard for me, which I only want to work for a company that does that because I know that I can give my best to a company that understands that. So I think it's a great step forward.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
And moving back to compassionate marketing, mm-hmm. do you have some case studies of impressive PR results achieved through compassionate marketing? And that might be with people that you've worked with, or just like you said, like you companies that you've seen, which you believe have done a really good job.
I would say there's one company that I did, that I did work with them on. They're a current client of mine. She does financial planning. So just helping with small business accounting and stuff like that. So I kind of helped her pivot a little bit to appeal to new businesses who are starting out, who don't know what to do. So we started her radio show started to help, to have topics that would help small businesses understand how to manage the change and how that, the stress from, not knowing if they're going to be in business next month, helping them to kind of change their thought processes so that they can, they can actually feel more at ease in running their business, because money is directly kind of correlated with your emotions. So if you're stressed out about money, you're going to be stressed out anywhere else. So I was helping her to word her topics and word her messages to appeal to those who are stressed out, and to show that she cared and show that she understood what they're going to, being more human and not just a bookkeeper or an accountability accountant, So that's the kind of things that we did. Also with another client of mine, she's a author and an evangelist. So a lot of her topics, we would talk about her, but we started doing more of showcasing more of her being a support system, a place where people can go for refuge and to talk about different things to kind of minimize the stress. So it's more of directing my clients to be more human and talk about the things that they are going through. So that's where I've incorporated compassionate marketing into my company. But I've seen, what's that company? It's a lawn care company. I think it's it kind of threw me for a loop, because you never saw them, but they were actually saying, like, even though outside may not be available, we can come in and create a space for you and your family to enjoy your home. And to me, that's a huge deal. So you never saw them. They only talked about the insects and stuff in the backyard. But then when they understood that your backyard is now being at home, was now a huge
it's your world, basically.
Yeah, it's your world. So it was like it just turned into something that you never would expect from them. And so to me, that just showed that they cared about their clients and their future clients. And it made me feel good, because it's like, they are actually stepping outside of the box and doing something different that normally we wouldn't have that kind of response from certain companies. And it made me feel like, there is a person behind the company. There is a person that's there that's trying to make sure that people feel, that they want to change. They want to make sure we understand. So it felt really good. It made me, happy that companies were doing that. So that was a big, big, huge impact for me. And changing the way that I looked at how my clients and current, were doing their business. So I was excited. I know that's weird, but
No, I think that's completely fair, because at the end of the day, like, all businesses are out to make money, but correct. At the same time, like, how they do that is like what separates them. Right. So the fact that they're trying to incorporate, or at least considering how they can have a positive impact during this time, shows that they're above and beyond the other companies, which just maybe are just looking to make a buck.
Right.
And that's really where, like, people buy from people they trust. And I think that's the smartest, like, approach to take to understand, like, what value can we give here beyond just maybe offering a service? Like, how can we go one step beyond, or how can we genuinely improve someone's world? And I think that lawn example is fantastic. I think that perfectly sums up, like, what I believe you're trying to say with compassionate marketing.
Yeah, it made a huge difference, especially in caring about, just showing that you actually, there is a it's not a machine. And most people sometimes forget that, you know, that businesses are run by people. There are people who exist there, you know, to work with you. So that was, yeah, that was a huge difference for me.
Yeah. I actually remember a quote that a friend of mine said, and ages ago when I was in the UK and I was on an accelerator for a startup idea I had, and this guy was my mentor. And I was really passionate about like starting this business. And he said to me, like, the thing which will make you successful is the fact that you're not trying to take a dollar from everyone. You're trying to give a dollar's worth of value to everyone. And that's the difference. That's like how a successful company is built. You're not trying to make money necessarily, but you're trying to give the value that's worth the money that you receive. And I think that's very applicable in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you for more examples from PR campaigns that most closely represent compassionate marketing, but I think we've already covered that quite a lot and you've given some really good examples there. So my last question to you, which I would love to know, is like, if someone's listening to this and they want to roll out compassionate marketing and I suppose incorporate it in their PR strategy or just generally their ethos of work, number one would be contact you. But if they have any kind of like actionable advice from this podcast, what would it be? What would you like to give them?
Always, before you start your campaign, think of how you would like someone to talk to you. Think of what you want. What would you want someone to say to you to ease your mind or your heart? That would be my one word of advice before you start a campaign. You know, what would you want them to say? Because that will change a whole, that will change exactly where you want to go with that. I think that's pretty much what I would give them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair advice. Yeah. And on the kind of subject of me mentioning people reaching out to you for compassionate marketing, if people do want to reach out to you or even listen to your podcast or keep up with what you're doing, where can they find you, Chandra?
I am on all things social media, Chandra Gore Consulting, and on all listening platforms, Pandora, Spotify, at Conversations with Chan if they want to listen.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking about compassionate marketing, and it's really nice to have a conversation which is so rich with just compassion. Yeah, I think there's no better word to use.
Thank you so much.